Good evening. Okay. So the subject before us is man, created in God's image. So this is part of the study of the statements of faith. So how many messages did we have on the statements of faith so far? Three subjects, maybe, not three messages. Anybody? More than three. Pretty good. Yeah. So we had seven messages. Can you name them? Two were on the Word of God. Four were on God, theology. Then one was on man. So that is seven? Yeah. Or six? Seven, yeah. So we started with the importance of knowing God's Word. Why it is important to know God's Word. That was the first message. That was the preface to the whole statements of faith. Then, what we believe, the importance of knowing God's Word. That means the Holy Scriptures, God's Word, what? God's revelation to man. So God's Word is God's revelation to man. That was the second message we had. Then we had four messages on God, theology, study on God, which were, number one, Almighty God, who He is. Number two, God the Father, who, in connection with the salvation, who thought about our salvation? God the Father, the one who thought it. Then God the Son, the one who bought it. Then God the Holy Spirit, the one who wrote it or works it out. So the first one was Almighty God, who is He? Then God the Father, the one who thought it. God the Son, who one who bought it. God the Holy Spirit, the one who wrote it or works our salvation out. So that was theology of God, four messages. Then naturally we move on to if study of God is theology, what is the study of man? Anthropology, right? Okay, so it's technical words. So we move on to the anthropology. That was the study of man. Here we are. So we looked at it briefly last Sunday. Man created in God's image. So seven messages we had on the statements of faith so far. And I'm going to read a couple of scripture portions. We'll turn to Genesis chapter 1, verse 24. We'll start Genesis chapter 1, verse 24. Then God said, "Let the earth bring forth living creatures after their kind, cattle and creeping things and beasts of the earth after their kind." And it was so. God made the beasts of the earth after their kind, and the cattle after their kind, and everything that creeps on the ground after its kind. And God saw that it was good. Verse 26. Then God said, let us make man in our own, in our image, according to our likeness, and let them rule over the fish of the sea, over the birds of the sky, over the cattle, and over all the earth, and over every creeping thing that creeps on the earth. God created in his own image. In the image of God, he created him. Male and female, he created them. God blessed them, and God said to them, be fruitful and multiply, fill the earth and subdue it, and rule over the fish and of the sea, and over the birds of the sky, and every living thing that moves on the earth. And God said, behold, I have given you every plant yielding seed that is on the surface of all the earth, and every tree which has fruit yielding seed, it shall be food for you. To every beast of the earth, to every bird of the sky, and to everything that moves on the earth which has life, I have given every green plant for food. And it was so. God saw all that he has made, and behold, it was very good. And there was evening, and there was morning, the sixth day. And also I'm going to read chapter 2. Thus the heavens and the earth were completed, and all their hosts. By the seventh day, God completed his work, and which he had done, and he rested on the seventh day from all his work, which he had done. Then God blessed the seventh day and sanctified it, because in it he rested from all his work, which God had created and made. Verse 4, this is the account of the heavens and the earth when they were created, in the day that the Lord God made earth and heaven. Now no shrub of the field was yet in the earth, and no plant of the field had yet sprouted, for the Lord God had not sent rain upon the earth, and there was no man to cultivate the ground, but a mist used to rise from the earth and water the whole surface of the ground. Verse 7, then the Lord God formed man of dust from the ground and breathed into his nostrils the breath of life, and the man became a living being. The Lord God planted a garden toward the east in Eden, and there he placed the man whom he had formed. Let's move to chapter 5, verse 1, 2 and 3. This is the book of the generations of Adam. In the day when God created man, he made him in the likeness of God. He created them male and female, and he blessed them and named them man in the day when they were created. When Adam had lived 130 years, he became the father of a son in his own likeness, according to his image, and named him Seth. All right, let's ask the Lord to bless our time. Father, we pray that you bless our time as we discuss and review your word and the message you gave us past Sunday. And we thank you for you created us for your image, and when we were lost to sin, you were merciful to us to restore us to the image of our Lord Jesus Christ. We thank you for that. So help us to understand your word and to discuss for the benefit of each one of us and to for your glory. This we ask in the name of our Lord Jesus. Amen. All right. So the message was, we were going to look at man in three ways. You remember those things? Man in creation, man in the fall, man in sin, and man in redemption, right? So mainly our focus was man in creation. So there were seven aspects of God's creation of man were discussed. Remember those? Number one, we looked at the accounts of the origin of man. That was the first thing we looked. Secondly, anybody remember that? Man's creation, God created the man, but it was preceded by a solemn divine council, right? Number two, within the Godhead, there was a council. They discussed, they consulted, they exhorted. We see that, let us make man. So there was a divine council preceded the creation of man. That was the second one we discussed. Number three, looks like nobody wrote the notes down. Yeah. What was the number third aspects of God's creation of man we discussed? It was direct and immediate. God created man directly and immediately, not through a process. We'll come back to that again. Then number four, God created man. Yeah, God created man in his own image. That was the fourth one. The fifth one was God created man and made them male and female, assigned a specific gender to them, and identified by the biological sex at their birth or in their conception. That's how God assigned it, designed. Because that assignment, that design itself reflects God's glory. When we understand, we discussed that in the message. Number six was God created man. What was the ultimate purpose of God's creation of man? For his glory, right? Then the seventh aspect of God's creation was God created man two ways. There was a material, man is made of material substance and immaterial, that God created his body with his own hand, and God created his soul with his breath. So that's what we discussed. Okay. So what are the scriptural account of the origin of man? Where do we see? Where can we find the scriptural account? What are the references of the creation of man? What is that? Creation of man? What is the origin of man? What is the account of the origin of man, scriptural account of the origin of man? What are they? Where are they? Where do they find them? Yeah, so we just read. I went to, you know, it was kind of read more than what was there, but you can see 126 and 27. Then the Lord God formed the man of dust from the ground and breathed into his nostrils the breath of life, and the man became a living. That is chapter 2, actually, verse 26, chapter 1. Then God said, let us make man in our own image, according to our likeness. Let them rule over the fish of the sea and over the birds of the sky, over the cattle, over the earth, and over the every creeping thing that creeps on the earth. And God created man in his own image. In the image of God, he created him. Male and female, he created them. So that is one of the account of the origin of man. That is, so in the origin of the account of man, we looked at the difference between Genesis chapter 1 and chapter 2. How do you understand Genesis chapter 1? Yeah, it is the order of the creation of things. So we get a general view of all six days of creation, right? In chapter 1 and up to chapter 1 gives the sixth day, then the seventh day is mentioned in chapter 2. Then, but mostly the chapter 2 gives us what? It is the continuation of the creation, or how do we understand chapter 2? Yeah, it is more highlighting the creation of man. It is like magnify. Because the order of creation of things are given in chapter 1. But chapter 2 is the highlight. It is magnifying the creation of man and his responsibilities. So that's why it is in chapter 2, verse 7, we see it again. Then the Lord God formed man of dust from the ground and breathed into his nostrils the breath of life. So we see a good picture of how God made man. There in chapter 1, we only see God made man, but here how he formed dust from the ground and breathed into his nostrils the breath of life, and the man became a living being. So that's how you understand chapter 1 and 2. Question? Yeah. Yeah, go ahead. Where did he create him? So the garden, if we read verse 8, the Lord God planted a garden toward the east in Eden. So that probably God, it is not, you know, God made that portion ready for man to dwell. But we read, you know, the Adam means, what is the meaning of Adam? Brown? Ground. It is actually the Hebrew word meaning is to be red. It is taken to be red. Yeah, earth is kind of red. It's not brown. Yeah, that's what it is. You know, it's taken out of the ground. It is, That's what it means, yes. To be read. Yeah, it says that, I'm looking at Vine's complete expository dictionary. It says the noun is related to the verb Adam, to be read. To be read. Therefore, probably relates to the original readiness of human skin. So it is taken out of the earth. That's what it means. Earth, taken out of the earth. Yeah. So when God created Adam and Eve, there was a divine council. Who are involved in this divine council? Were the angels involved there? When God says, "Let us make man," who are... Who else? Holy Spirit. So it was a consultation or self-exhortation within the Godhead. So what are the proof that God the Father, God the Holy Spirit, and God the Son is involved? Where do we have the proof? Yeah, Colossians 1:16 says Jesus is created all things for him and by him and through him. And John chapter 1 verse 1 says in the beginning was God, and God was with in the beginning was the Word was with God, and the Word was God, and everything was created by him. Right. How do we see Holy Spirit part of this creation? Yeah, chapter 1, verse 1 says, God, in the beginning God created heaven and earth, and the darkness was all over, and the Spirit of God was hovering over the earth. So that's what chapter 1, verse 1 says. The earth was formless and void, and darkness was over the surface of the deep, and the Spirit of God was moving over the surface of the waters. And God, so there, the Spirit of God was moving over the surface of the water. So we know the Holy Spirit was there in the beginning as part of creation. So there was a divine, solemn divine counsel before the creation. Now, when we look at when God was going to, what day God created man? 6 days. What is the difference between man and all other creation? Yeah. No other creature were created in God's image. Soul. So the sixth day God created man, and I lost my train of thought right now. I was kind of, that is there. So that more than one, the plural, let us make man. So what I was, what I was thinking about it is why God consulted each other before he made Adam. But Adam also, we looked at in the message that, that verse, if you look at it, says, let us make Adam. That man is translated in English, but the Hebrew word is Adam. Let us make Adam in our image, according to our likeness. Then verse 27 says, God created Adam in his own image. In the image of God, he created him. Male and female, he created them. So then chapter 5, we read that God created them and called them Adam. God created both male and female and called them Adam. So it was Mr. Adam or Mr. and Mrs. Adam, or Mr. Adam has both Mr. and Mrs. when God created Adam. So both were in him. Mr. and Mrs. were in Adam. So the reason God consulted, the Godhead consulted because Adam and Eve were created unlike all other creatures to have a relationship within themselves and to God. Animals cannot have that relationship, right? Animals cannot have that relationship among themselves. But man was designed to have a relationship and a fellowship among us. And that fellowship and relationship is patterned after whom? Within the So where is the perfect relationship? Where is the perfect fellowship within the Godhead? So God created us. So when we read further that God created us in his image, that reflects the relationship between within the Godhead. You know, when we study, where does perfect love, agape love, originate? With God. But they had a love. The Father's love to the Son was the perfect agape love, as Jesus prayed in chapter 17 of John's Gospel. That love is the one, because that was modeled within the Godhead, and we are told, because we have been given that love, and we are told to love one another. Same way we are told to have that relationship. That how we reflect God's image. So we'll come back to God's image, but I just want to touch God created one of the issue, the creation of man. And it is direct, chapter 2, verse 7, we said God created man with his own hands. It was an immediate act of God. It was a direct act of God. It was not done indirectly. It was not done by his word. But he himself involved, he made with his hands man. So how do you refute some of the things we looked at? It was not a man is not a product of an explosion, a galactic explosion, or came out of nothingness, or the combination of certain chemicals did not form man, right? We don't believe that. And also we don't believe that man is a product of evolution, neither explosion nor evolution, not a naturalistic evolution, adoption of mutation or whatever, that caused by inherent forces within a lower animal caused the creation or the evolution of a higher animal with such intellect and emotions and rationality and moral judgment. Yeah, so I said that, you know, it's not like one day the ape got up and said, it's a nice sunny day, maybe I would shave. And here comes Mr. JJ. That was not the result, you know. So it was not an evolutionary process. And also in the Christian circles, certain believers and theologians believe there is a theistic evolution. What is the theistic evolution? What do you understand by theistic evolution? Yeah, it's a theory. God used the process of evolution to create man. At some point, God breathed his soul, his breath into the man. But it was God used because they want to reconcile the theories of science with the word of God. So they said, okay, God used the method of evolution to create or to have the man formed. Then at some point he gave him a soul. So that also we cannot reconcile because it's an immediate act of God with chapter 6. God created man with his own hand. He breathed his breath into the nostrils. It was an immediate act of God. So image of God, that is the, you know, the image of God. How do we understand the image of God in man? Yeah, icon is a physical, it's Greek icon is used as a figure. Icon is an image, it's a physical reflection or resemblance of something. Yeah. So animals don't have a will. Animals don't have emotions. They feel pain and everything. They can get angry at too. But rationality. Animals don't have rational thinking, or then emotions, intellect, will, and the judgment of right and wrong, moral judgments.
Animals do not worship a God.
Right. So, no God?
We are the only creation that can worship God.
All right. So knowing God and worshiping God and relating to God, animals could not do that. So all that comes from the image of God. So what is the difference here? Do you see any difference? It says that in the image of God created, verse 27 says, God created man in his own image. In the image of God, he created him. Okay, verse 26. According to our likeness, let us make man in our image, according to our likeness. Do you see a difference between image and likeness? No. Okay. There are different schools of thought, even among theologians. They kind of specify there's a difference. But generally, there is no difference. They are synonyms. Okay? And you can see in the New Testament, it translated different ways. But if you take image, if you look at grammatically or look at the meaning, two different Hebrew words are used for image and likeness. If you take that the image is more of these things we just discussed, right? The rationality or the thinking power or the feeling, the intelligence, the moral judgment, all those things. I read a quote from Henry Morris in my message in that he says, the body is not the image of God, but the body is a vehicle. Henry Morris wrote about that. We can only say that although God himself has no physical body, he designed and formed man's body to enable it to function physically in ways in which he himself could function without a body. And Henry Morris go on to say that there is something, he says that about the human body, therefore, which is uniquely appropriate to God manifesting himself on occasions. He must have designed man's body with this in mind. So earlier in Genesis, he says that God can see, hear, smell, according to Genesis 8:21. He can touch, he can speak, whether or not he has actual physical eyes, ears, nose, hands, or mouth. Furthermore, when he has designed to appear visibly to man, he has done so in the form of a human body, such as in Genesis chapter 18. And the same would be true of angels. They are spirits, and there are occasions when they take on bodies. So therefore, so then he says, accordingly, he designed it not like the animals, but with an erect posture, with an upward gazing countenance, capable of facial expressions corresponding to emotional feelings, and within a brain and a tongue capable of articulate symbolic speech. He knew, of course, that in the fullness of time, even he would become a man. And in that day, he would prepare a human body for his son. And it would be made in the likeness of man, just as man had been made in the likeness of God. So if God had a body, it would look like us. Because when God made man in his likeness, God, the perception of God's personality was reflected in our physical body. Right? And that's why, but likeness is more like holiness and righteousness, right? So in the fall, what happened? Did we lose the image? In creation, God created us in his own image and in his likeness. So that is interchangeably used in both Old Testament and New Testament. But the image is more corresponding to his these features, like that we still have, that physical resemblance, which even though God does not have a body, is a spirit, which was in which we were made. We still have that. Before I was saved, I still had that. But I did not have the holiness and the righteousness of God, which I lost through sin. I had the rational power. I had thinking power. I was emotional. I had inbuilt, because God's law is inbuilt in my heart, I could judge right and wrong. So when man lost God's image in sin, in the fall, he did not lose all these features. But what he lost was holiness and righteousness. The relationship, right? Fellowship, right. So the image of God, when God created, what was the purpose God created man in his image? Ultimately, what to glorify God. But there was some purpose in glorifying God. God created man in his image. First, he created the man and woman. So together we should reflect God's image. That was there. So God designed man and woman in a way we can glorify God individually as well as together, because we see them as together there. Because they were one first, then God made man incomplete, taking a rib and made a woman and brought her back and made him complete. So that's how we see that they made him, he made them together. Individually, we are made to glorify God, and also in the relationship. So in the design of man and woman, physiologically, we are not identical. There's masculinity and there is femininity. In that design, God's image is reflected. And when that that the reality of that masculinity and femininity is expressed in the one flesh union, because God designed man and women in a perfect way so that the one flesh union could take place in the way God designed. So in that also God's image is reflected for his glory. Any deviation from that is perversion, which is not in the design of God. So in that sense, God created male and female. That's all. He didn't create anything else. All other ideas floating out are the perversion from Satan. That's the cause of sin. So the L, G, B, T, Q, I, A. Yeah, I don't know the lesbian, gay, bisexual, transgender, queer, and I. Now they add an I, and the I is intersex. I don't know what that is. Then there is asexual. So all those things are perversions from the original design. So God created man to reflect God's image in the design of male and female and in their union. Anything else other than that is not God's design. It's not a biblical thing. It's a perversion from God's design. So that's how it's very important to understand that. But there's questions people ask. There was somebody asked me last year. I have a brother. We grew up in a Christian home. And he's a believer. Now he says he's not a man. He's a woman. How do we... my parents are devastated. How do I comfort them? And you probably came across situations like that, And people grow up, they don't feel like they grow up man, they don't feel like a man. They feel like a woman. Women feel like a man. And the attractions are all mixed up. So these are all perversions caused by sin. Okay, our time is up. So what I wanted to just focus, God created us for his glory. And we glorify God. God created us for what purpose? God created us to have a relationship with him. It all starts with R. Number one, relationship with him, then to reflect him, then to represent him. Because God wants man to be his representative to rule over the creation. So have a relationship, that's fellowship. In that, obedience comes, worship comes, relationship. Then reflect him. Reflect God on the face of the earth. That was the original purpose. Then to represent God and to rule the creation for God. But what happened? All those four purposes for which God created man was lost because of sin. So God, man in creation was to have relationship with God, reflect God, represent God, to rule the creation for God. Lost it. Then, second Adam, the last Adam, we read in 1 Corinthians 15. Jesus Christ came as a man, God. He fulfilled all those four purposes. How did God relate to the Father? Perfect fellowship with the Father, right? That's how we were created for. Then secondly, Jesus Christ represented the God perfectly. He was the exact image of God the Father, but he represented God. He made God visible to us. Then he reflected God. Then he represented God. He made God visible to us. Then fourthly, he is still the ruler. You know, he is ruler over the storms and wind and death and diseases. He is ruler over all things. Man in redemption, so God's purpose since the fall, even God's story in the Bible is to redeem God's chosen people from their sins, right? So God's purpose from predestination to glorification is given in the scripture. That purpose was to redeem man, the lost man, and restore him to the image in which he was created. So in creation, we had those images. We were created for God's glory. In the sin, we lost it. We all have sinned and come short of the glory or the image in which we were created. Then God's purpose in Jesus Christ was to restore us to the image in which we were originally created, but that was reflected by Jesus Christ. Now he's in the process of restoring us to the image of Jesus Christ. So if I ask you, what is the ultimate purpose of salvation? What is the ultimate purpose of salvation? God's glory. How? In our lives. To make us like him. Right. So in the eternity past, we read in Romans 8:28, God predestined us to be conformed to the image of his son. Eternity past. In the present, we read in 2 Corinthians 3:18, God is in the process of transforming us into the likeness of Jesus Christ through the Holy Spirit with the help of the Word of God. Now, in 1 John 3:12, we read, when we see him, we will be like him in the future. The past, eternity past, that was the purpose. The present, that is the process. In the future, that will be complete. So man created in the image of God in creation, lost in the fall in sin, was restored in redemption back to the image of God in which we were created, into the image of our Lord Jesus Christ. So that is, yeah, go ahead.
He's allowed us to come full circle from the
right. So ultimately, the purpose we have right now, because we are, I believe, all of us have been restored to the image of Jesus Christ. So our purpose is to have perfect relationship with the Father for which we were created. In worship, in knowing him, to worship him, to obey him, to have a perfect fellowship. And also we need to reflect that among ourselves, that relationship. Then we are here to reflect God's glory, because that's the only way people would know God, you know, as we reflect his glory. And also represent, we are the ambassadors of Jesus Christ. We are representative of God. And also we will not rule now, but one day when we will rule with Jesus Christ, which we forfeited to Satan. Now Jesus has, the Lord has restored that. Someday we are going to rule. Don't we know that? We are going to rule the angels. Corinthians says, and Revelation 3:16, I believe, says that we are going to sit in the throne of Jesus Christ and rule with him. So that is all because of God's mercy. We who are created in his image, lost in sin, were restored in redemption to the image of Jesus Christ for his glory, so that now and eternity we may be for the praise of his glory. Amen. So that is our time's up. I don't have any time for you to ask questions. So okay, we'll close. Father, we thank you for your word. Every time we study and think, It encourages us, inspires us, excites us for what you have done for us. Thank you. Help us, Lord, to reflect your glory in the places you have kept us. We ask this in the name of our Lord Jesus. Amen.